Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Study. This is a special series we're doing in the weeks leading up to Christmas on the Messianic prophecies from the Old Testament. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about the one they have pierced from Zechariah chapter 12. Thanks for tuning in to the 10-Week Bible Study. I can't wait to dig into today's passage. We're talking about the Messianic prophecies in the weeks leading up to Christmas. This is such a special time of year where we think about the first advent of the Messiah, Jesus, and what it means to us, how it's transformed our life and our eternity. But very seldom during this time period do we ever look at the prophecies that foretold of him coming. And so I thought it'd be a great time this year to look at several of these prophecies. Today we're going to be looking at Zechariah chapter 12. So before we get started, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God? Would you speak to us? We want to hear from you and know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, with that, let's go ahead and jump into God's Word. We'll be reading today from the NIV. And if you ever wonder why I choose to read from the NIV, it's not because they pay me or anything like that, or that I think it's the best translation. It's just the one that I favor to read on air. That's really all there is to it. There's lots of good English translations. There's things that people like and don't like about NIV and other translations. It's just that it's the one that I've found the easiest to read on the air, and that's it. So choose whatever translation you want. Read multiple translations. I encourage you as you go through this, read the books that we go through. This is a special series, but when we normally do this, I encourage you to read the book that we're doing 10 times in 10 weeks. You can switch translations as you go along, and it actually enhances your study of God's Word when you do that because you see little nuances that they struggle with in translations. All right, with that out of the way, let's go ahead and read Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. Now there's a lot of interesting stuff going on here, but obviously, from the title of this, this lesson this week is the one they've pierced. That's such a strange phrase when referring to the Messiah. Remember that the Messiah is this warrior, king, prince. I mean, like he's Superman and, you know, everything that you've ever wanted to be all rolled up into one. And he's going to come and he's going to kick butt and take names and take over and rule the entire earth from Jerusalem and bring everything in subjugation under him. That's the idea of the Messiah. And by the way, that is a correct understanding of the Messiah. That is what the Messiah is going to do for eternity. Jesus, who is the Messiah, is going to rule and reign on the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem for all eternity. That really is him. But this is a strange aspect of it. And of course, now that he's come, you know, this is very easy. We're going to look at the passage in Revelation that refers to this. But at the time, it had to have been very strange because when they're piecing together all these things about the Messiah, most of it is this warrior king. And then these few passages that hint at how the Messiah is going to suffer. He's going to be a servant. He's going to save us from our sins, not just from, you know, the nations of the earth kind of thing. And so there's all of these little subtle hints in all of the messianic prophecies in the Old Testament. And this is one of them. Why would the Messiah, this Superman, godlike human, and most of the, you know, the rabbis, of course, now especially, don't believe that the Messiah is God. They believe he's a man. But all of these characteristics, everything in the Old Testament point to him being God and man. But if you just look at the man side of it, he's almost godlike. I mean, like everything about him, he's going to live forever. You know, all of these things, he's going to rule forever. His kingdom will never end. All of these things. I mean, he's Superman times a billion. If that's the case, how can he be pierced? How can he suffer? How can he die? All of these things are very difficult when trying to piece together the Messiah, because the overwhelming messages in the Old Testament are that he's going to be this awesome warrior king. So the other thing that I find interesting about this passage is it tells us that, you know, I will pour out on the house of David, meaning the Lord is speaking through the prophet here, Zechariah, telling him, I, God, the Father, will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him. So you see, the pronouns are changing here, and that's an important aspect of this. I can't go through the ancient Hebrew with you here, but it's interesting that there's this aspect of the Trinity buried in this passage here. And I find that amazing. And then it says they're going to mourn for him when they pierce, as one mourns for an only child. I mean, like John 3:16 right there. I sent my one and only son, my only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. I mean, this is just so beautiful and poetic, announcing Jesus is coming. But this is actually prophesying about a lot more than that. It's prophesying about not just his first coming, but his second coming as well. This is one of those rare passages that's actually hitting both advents of Jesus at the same time. It's making it very clear here that the Messiah is going to be God's son. And again, that is like new information for people, most of the people here in Zechariah 12. That is just earth-shattering again. And it's not the only passage in the Old Testament that prophesies that the Messiah is going to be God's son. I mean, it's saying they're going to look on me, the one they pierced, and they will mourn for him. So there's this aspect of the triune God somehow being split into Father and Son here. And it's the Son whom they're going to have pierced. They're going to mourn for him. He's the child. He's the firstborn son. And again, this is going back to the foreshadowing that was Abraham and Isaac. God has woven such beautiful poetry into the scriptures here, foretelling of Jesus' coming. But again, this is looking at both advents of the Messiah. The first one where we clearly gain an understanding that he is God and man at the same time. That he's going to come and he is the Messiah, yet still he's going to be pierced. And again, this idea of pierced, I mean, it could have said crushed or bruised, but this is such beautiful language because it's exactly what was going to happen to Jesus. He was pierced in his hands, in his feet, in his side. He was pierced for our transgressions. That is very pointed language. Other places, you know, it says crushed. Other places, you know, various places, it says different things. Cut off, crushed, but pierced. It is so specific to what happened to him. In reality, it's what happened to Jesus, our Messiah. He was pierced. And we do mourn over that piercing, but we have joy now. There's going to be another mourning, and let's read about that at Jesus' second coming in Revelation 1:7. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. What John is speaking of specifically here is not specifically all peoples, but all unredeemed peoples. When they realize that Jesus is coming, he's coming with the clouds and every eye sees him. It's at that moment they realize they've chosen wrong. And again, that's a whole nother topic in the book of Revelation. We went over that in detail in our study of the book of Revelation. If you'd like to check out the podcast for that, we don't have a video up for that yet, but if you'd like to check out the podcast, you can go to 10weekbible.com and peruse through those podcasts. We've gone over that. And again, it is a lot to talk about, but we're specifically speaking of the ones who don't know him. For those of us that know him, when we see him, we're going to rejoice. We're going to be so thrilled when we see him. The ones who will mourn are the ones who immediately realize that they've chosen incorrectly. They're going to realize, oh my gosh, the stories were true. He really is coming. He's here now. I've chosen wrong. That's a bad moment for a lot of people, and they will mourn, just like Zechariah promised. There's going to be a great mourning for the one whom they've pierced. Now, when we come right down to it, there's really only maybe two people, maybe, on planet Earth who physically pierced Jesus. Maybe even one. Some Roman, and maybe it was two guys that were nailing him to the cross simultaneously. Maybe it was one guy that nailed, you know, both his hands and his feet together. And maybe it was the same guy that pierced his side. Maybe it was multiple people. We don't know, but it's like a very small number of people. You know, no more than four people pierced Jesus. So when it's speaking of the one whom they have pierced, it's not talking about, oh, you know, those four, you know, Roman guards, they're going to mourn. No, it's us. Those piercings were for our sin. Every single person on planet Earth shares in the guilt of that piercing, the piercing of Jesus' flesh, him hanging on that cross, being pierced for our transgressions. It was our sin, your sin, my sin, every single person on planet Earth. It was their sin. And so when Jesus comes the second time and he comes in power, he comes in might, when he comes as the Messiah that the rabbis were thinking he was supposed to come the first time, when he comes like that, he's going to show up and he is going to be the guy that's going to kick butt and take names. That is when everyone will mourn. That's when the weight of that sin and rebellion will fall on people's hearts and they will mourn. It will be a tragic day for those that have rejected him. For those that have accepted him, it will be an hour of rejoicing. I mean, when we see Jesus come, it will be the most glorious moment. If we get to see it with our natural eyes, if we're here on earth, it'll be the most glorious moment in all of our lives. Many of us may not get to see that in our natural lives. We may pass on to the next life before he returns. Even still, for all heaven and all earth, it's going to be the most glorious moment. John, the angel spoke to John in Revelation and said, you know, when all of this comes together, the mystery of God is going to be revealed. When Jesus is revealed as Messiah forever, when that mystery is revealed, all heaven and earth will rejoice. I mean, it's going to be amazing. You read Revelation and the superlatives in it of this coming together of heaven and earth when Jesus joins these two worlds together. It's like nothing else for those of us who've believed in him. But for those of us that haven't, there will be mourning. I encourage you during this Christmas season, as we ponder these things, as we look on the one whom we have pierced, I pray that you will find yourself in a season of prayer and supplication, like the prophet Zechariah said that the Lord would bring on us, one that would bring us humility, one that would bring us repentance. I pray that you have made that decision to repent of your sins and turn and follow Jesus with all of your heart. If you haven't, during this Christmas season, as we think about who he is and what he did for us, that's the real reason for the season. I encourage you. Would you consider giving your life to him? Repent of your sins and turn to him. If you've never done that before, I want to invite you to pray with me right now. Lord Jesus, forgive me I'm a sinner. Would you forgive me of my sins and save me? Reconcile me to God. I want to be with you forever. I want to follow you and trust you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus, would you forgive me and save me and fill me with your Holy Spirit? In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that with me for the first time, I want to invite you to reach out to me. I want to help you get plugged into a local church wherever you are. I want to help get you resources to grow in your walk with Jesus. You can hit me up. I'll have all of my contact information in the description. You can send an email to me at darrenhibbs.com. Hit me up on Twitter at darrenhibbs. You can go to 10weekbible.com or darrenhibbs.com. I'm in a lot of places. You can find me, but please, if you prayed that for the first time, reach out to me. I want to help you find a place to plug in so that you can continue and grow in your walk with the Lord. For the 10-Week Bible Study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.